Well, hello, hello everyone. Welcome to the Non-Intuitive Beats podcast brought to you by the Leaders Club. And as I have mentioned before, you are part of that club as well. But do please consider elevating your club membership by joining our Discord channel, which, by the way, you can find in the description of this video. The interesting part might not be there yet, because I still need to do a better job of preparing the announcement of the live show. So we go right now in this very moment of the live broadcasting, not the pre-recording listening, you will not find the tape there. People who are not present with me in the studio today: Dmitry Mananikov, he is out, as you can see. Nishant Sharma also is out, and it will be duly noted on their record for the next performance review. And this voice that you're hearing right now, the most annoying noise, as usually, are from Slava Kovalevsky. Okay, we do have several interesting things to do. You know, today I'm going to even show you, to extent I even can show you, some of this stuff. And before jumping into it, I need to share the screen. Let's see if this works. So for dear listeners, yes, I am sharing the screen, still figuring out how to do it. Okay, I am sharing the screen. So far looks like it's actually working. Yes, this is where we're going to be discussing the topics. As you might have seen, last week there was an Apple event. I'm not going to touch base much on the new Apple event, because probably everyone already discussed that. I just want to mention one specific thing there. They finally moved to USB-C. But for me, the interesting part of this event was that, to some extent, the magic of Apple have disappeared, for me at least. I don't know about you, but I have a very limited desire even to watch the actual show, to watch the released videos of all the devices that they have released, even though I'm a huge fan. So I definitely want to consider to upgrading, for example, to watch Ultra 2 at some point of my life, but nevertheless, I have not heard anything that would be a wow effect for me as it used to be. Maybe it's just me, maybe something actually shifting in the water, but I don't know. Please let me know what you think. What is the same for you, or maybe something have changed? In other things, you know, just for the sake of warming up before going to the main thing, I have found this interesting app. It's effectively a free app for the macOS, or at least I'm using it on macOS, Draw Things. This is effectively a very user-friendly UI in the app that allows you to use a pre-trained model as Stable Diffusion, for example, and use it for prompting things and writing things. It's honestly quite amazing. The reason why I mentioned that is because I'm trying to start generating episode-specific thumbnails. So if you go to our website, you might see that the last episode already was accompanied by the predefined, pre-generated custom thumbnails. It's not from Draw Things just yet. It's from a different service. Insomnialand. So this was the one that I used, but the future one probably either will be with a stock one, default one, or generated from Draw Things with a model, predefined model. So if you need something like that, go check it out. Extremely simple interface to download models. Tons of the models. Everything that I was aware of exists there. So you don't have to download it. You're just using UI telling what to download it. Download it. According to the authors, it does use GPU acceleration on the M chips, Apple Silicon. I don't know honestly if that's true, because it's actually working pretty well. So I hope it is using it. If it's not, it's working reasonably fast, so I don't have too many of complaints. So hopefully it's using some Apple hardware under the hood and not just generic CPU instructions. Okay. Last but not least, warm-up topic. And then we will have to go to the main one, because my vocal cords are killing me. And not only that, I actually have... I damaged my left foot. I barely can walk. Because of that, I have to go to the urgent care. I have to talk to a doctor. They gave me, in the end, antibiotics to suppress some of the infection that obviously I got after damaging the foot. So now I have to take antibiotic, which means I no longer have a stable supply of the alcohol during the recording of this show, so I might be sounds boring, which is because I am boring in this state of mind, but nevertheless, you came here, you're listening to it, so I still have tons of the content to share with you. So, for the warm-up, strike. I do not know how much you heard about this, but in the US there is a huge strike going on in the automotive industry. All three big companies, Ford, GM, and Stellantis. And the interesting part here for me is to learn that there is this third big car manufacturer, Stellantis, that I honestly never have heard about before. Obviously, I've heard about GM, I have heard about Ford, and I'm pretty sure all of us, I never heard about Stellantis. But when I opened their website, just look at here, what are the brands that turns out are Stellantis brand. I'm going to read it for listeners who are not watching live. Alfa Romeo, Chrysler, Citroën, Dodge, Fiat, Jeep, Opel, Ram, Lancia, Peugeot. There are many others. That's Maserati. Okay, Maserati, what else people might know? There are others, but honestly, up to this point, I was under the impression that that at least Dodge and Ram are actually owning by the GM, and wrong I was. So this is this. Today I was that year old that I have learned. Okay, let's go to the several main stories for tonight. The first one is actually about book. Yes, I'm going to tell you about the book, physical book. Though it probably would not be the correct way to say about this product that this is a book. It's more than a book. It's a product. And I'm thinking the category, but let me just start with saying the name. So the name of the book is S. Dot, period. That's all. That's the whole name, S. Dot. There are two creators of this product, J.J. Abrams and Doug Durst. J.J. Abrams, films. Let's see if he actually participated in many films. J.J. Abrams, who participated in the film like Lost, Star Trek, Star Wars episode. And you might be thinking at this point, why I telling you about the film producer when we're speaking about the book? So let me tell you about the concept of this book, and also let me try to quickly find it. Maybe I can find it on Amazon. Yes. So this book is... I'm thinking how to tell it. So imagine that you're finding a book in the library that have tons of the writing on sidelines. So someone was reading it, and when they were reading it, they outlined things on the sidelines for additional data, so to speak. Now, imagine that this book, the actual original book, are from the author that has tons of the mysterious and interesting facts from his life in the past. And in fact, no one in the history of the humanity have seen these authors. And this book is one of the most famous book of that author. And it's in the library of university, and several students, one I think PhD, one who is doing master, found this book, and they start putting on the lines their journey to discover details about who was the author. And that author was used a translator, to whom an editor, to whom he or she, because no one actually knows neither gender or anything about the author except the name that editor slash translator revealed to the world. And by the way, no one actually knew anything about the editor and translator either. So you have this book inside of the book, and book by itself. The book, just the book, is amazing. It's a story about the person that appears on a weird ship and then go back from it and then somehow goes to it. So it's a really hell of explanation, but believe me, it's a story itself. So we're just reading this book. It's an amazing book by itself. And then you start reading these side notes. And what is interesting, let me actually show you this book. I've been describing it quite some time. So this book is created in the way that feels like the book is from 1990, something like that. So this one says 1949. So it gives you a feeling as this book is old. So this is why I'm saying it's a product, because it's actually the book created to be felt like this is the old book. Now, the product called S dot, and this is how you should be searching just one character. And by the way, it has special meaning. But the opening the product, the actual book inside, has a name, Ship of Theseus, by V.M. Straka. And Straka is the author that actually no one have heard about, who have published several books, and this is one of them. And if you're reading this book, you will find tons of the sidelines there and description from these two students that were chatting about it. And what is important, more interesting, you will be finding tons of the artifacts on different pages that they left for each other when they were figuring out who is the author and who is the real essence of this author and who was writing the book, from where this book have appeared. Some case you will be finding the copy of the old news, you will be finding napkins, you will be finding cardboard, you will be finding tons of the interesting facts about the author, so you can start puzzling information. And as you're reading that, you will start actually see the signals in the book. You will see how these people derived this signal, how these people learned about secret messages in the book. Sorry, I got super scared. I want to stay in the call. So you will learn more about secret messages in the books that author actually was sending through the book. And you were reading it, then you will be reading these sidelines and like, oh my God, oh shit, yes, you will be coming back and rereading parts with a completely new meaning. And there is no right even way of reading this book. You can read the book, and then you can read sidelines, all the artifacts, and combine the story, or you can actually read it together. I personally trying to chunk it. I'm reading the logical chunk of the book, then I go back and start reading the side story with sidelines, and discovering the process of these two young people and trying to uncover what they have learned. There is tons of the puzzles that you can slowly puzzle yourself. So again, this product is somewhere in between, this secret room, exit the room, type of the games, exit the room game in cardboard. There is this game that I really like. Exit, yes, of course, Exit. So there is this game, Exit, which is effectively escape the room type of the game, but you can play it at home. You can order it. It's they have a seasons where they would market a particular level, and you effectively have to solve a bunch of the puzzles. It's fun, really enjoyable to play. But again, this is mainstream. They creating it in the hundreds, and the puzzle can be a little repetitive if you've done thousands of these games or so. But nevertheless, it's really fun. If you have not tried it, highly recommend. You can do it at home. So this specific product, probably somewhere between a book and this game. And it's amazing because when you start reading it, you're immersing in the world, because you are finding yourself connected with these people who also are reading the book together with you, and you're following their narrative, you're looking what they're looking for, and then realizing that this sign with this book was right in front of you. Obviously, do not want to any spoilers, but at some point you're coming to realization, oh my God, this sign that they now pointing me, it was all right along here in front of me, and I have missed it. So now you can go back and use the same system that they used to decipher other parts of the books. So it's quite immersive and interesting puzzle, so to speak. And again, it's not puzzle from the perspective that you cannot move forward if you have not solved this something. You can read it end to end. You can read the book. You can read many of the sideliners. But at the same time, there are some puzzles that you can uncover yourself after you obviously reread all the subsequent stories and the parts. Let me see what's going on with the life. Okay, we're still live, just checking. Okay, so this is the book. I'm thinking, did I want to show something else about the book? Probably not. Okay, so let's move on. And the second topic is Starfield. I know that we have talked about it briefly on the Starfield before. I wanted to come back to it because I actually now the happy owner of the special Starfield Constellation Edition. And this is first time in my life when I have a collection version of any type of game products. And this, in this case, a Constellation, in this case, a Starfield. It's really immersive. It's really immersive. But give me a second. I need to respond. Maybe actually Dima will join, because this is the right time to join. So he's asking. He's not too late. Not too late. Just jump on the call, my friend. So this is what I typing to him, and he will be here in 3 minutes. Okay, he will be here in 3 minutes, and I really would want to chat about this specific topic with him in the room. So I really apologize, but before we will proceed, I will have a very small detour, to, and I'm quickly searching the topic, golf handle for Oculus. fun topic. It's a small warm-up topic while we're waiting. But I recently have discovered that if you are owner of the Oculus, there are tons of the golf swing handles like this, where you can buy attached to one of your Oculus controllers. And you can literally have an immersive golf experience. I must say it's amazing. The in-golf experience is amazing. The swing feels really well done. The only thing that probably I want to say, that if you're starting to doing so, directly jump to the one that has a weight. There is almost none of those. There is one or two that have a weight, but this even more immersive, because they're actually very light. If you're taking any of those that I'm showing right now, they are super, super light, and there is one with an additional weight. I'm trying to find it. So that is the one that, at least for me, or like this, like Dead Eye VR, Dead Eye VR actually have one with the weights. Highly suggest to find that one. And the reason being that in this case, it's way more closer to the real golf club handler. You can play their Top Golf, you can play their normal golf. I highly suggest, if you're just starting, to start with Top Golf, just because you don't have to bother with figuring out all the mechanics of moving to your golf ball. You can just kick and see and all be done with it, because in full scale golf you have to move with your ball until you progress to the point where you putting it in the hole, so to speak. So it is what it is. This is you are attaching your controller and you're playing. Again, highly recommend. Even if you never play golf, it's reasonably cheap. If you can have Oculus, you probably can easily have this handle, use it, so to speak. Go and try that. Okay, then we did this. We did the golf, and we have Dimitri. Hello.
Hey. As usual, I'm keep forgetting.
You know, some backstory. I already told everyone about your book, so unfortunately you weren't here. But I almost was start speaking about Starfield when I saw your message, and I obviously shift to a different topic because I wanted to wait for you at least for the second big topic. But how are you doing? Let's have a small chit chat. You know, like a grown up. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I found a bug. You know the situation, someone report a bug and you 100% sure there is no bug. So you assume report is just stupid, you know?
Okay.
And because I assume that reporter is stupid, I decided to make like a super good example why I'm right and they are wrong.
Okay.
So I went and made a test which proves that, you know, my code is working correctly.
Okay.
And apparently test is failing because code is not working correctly.
So you have actually proven that the bug is there.
Yeah. And now I feel like I need to fix it faster, because for a couple of days I'm like, no, there's no bug. There couldn't be any.
Oh my God. Yeah, that happens.
But to be honest, like, it's not really my code. Someone else wrote it, but I was sure it was fine.
I was resisting to say sure. All these excuses. I have a question to you. So I wanted to chat and share with you and the listeners Starfield Constellation Edition, but this is the first time I have a collection version of the game. And the question to you, did you ever have any collection versions of any games?
Nope.
This is also the first time experience to me. It's so fun. It's so cool.
But so what's inside?
Inside, okay, so that's the right question. So what happens inside? First thing first, it comes with, I will show to the listener who looking watching us online, but we'll try to describe everyone who listening. So this part is effectively replica, full-scale metal replica of internal in-game wallets. So when you're finding these metal things, this is effectively a wallet that you can use to take some coins from there to your wallet. And this wallet has laser engraving of the code that you can redeem to download the game. Which quite cool concept. Now, here is an amazing and fun part.
It would be really cool if you not redeem a game with it, but inside game, there is a station where you enter this code and then get some rewards.
My friend, this is so obvious thought that I actually was Googling it if this worked like that, because it would be so obvious that this, you know, maybe the same code you would enter somewhere inside of the ATM, it will give you additional coins. From what I can see so far, this is not the case. But there is still an angle to this. Two angles, actually. Angle number one. When I got this gadget, obviously, and there is many other things, but let me first finish on this gadget. When I got this gadget, first thing I did, I went to Google and said, how to redeem the code on Xbox? I never did it before. So the first thing that I got was a post on Reddit where the guy who got Constellation Edition says, how to redeem the code? It doesn't work for me. The first reply, can you share me a code? Maybe I will try redeem it. And the guy sharing a code in the reply. And the rest
is hilarious.
Yeah. By the way, out of curiosity, I'm going to do it live. How to redeem Starfield code. Let me order Reddit because probably that post either already redeeming it from Amazon. Yeah. Okay. The first thing it was giving to me is, I guess, this one. Okay. Let me try the code to me. Yes, so, but this is not the one that I actually have seen, but clearly the same strategy that no longer works. But the second part with this code, the second angle, that pissed off a lot of gamers. So while the concept is amazing, one thing that they promise with Constellation Edition that you can play game 5 days beforehand. So you buy in the Constellation Edition, games will be available. But, as you probably can imagine, not everyone got the physical copy by the -5 day mark. And without the code, you cannot download it. So you pay for it, but you cannot you cannot play it. Yeah, that was really weird and strange.
Yeah, it's strange that they didn't make logistics a bit different. I don't know.
True, but in many cases, it was either Amazon or third-party resellers who would be selling it. So it's not 100% on them.
Yeah, it's pretty much with physical, right? Like when you buy a disc, it's usually just code inside, so you need it anyway.
Exactly, yes. But in this case, you know, maybe they could have gave you some way to download it until you're waiting. I don't know, I don't want to speculate. Okay, so... moving on, the second part of it, they would give you a case with a full replica of the case from the game where you will have a watch, and the watch is actually full replica of the watch that you will be wearing in the game. And this is not a random watch. This is actually, I will try to show it in a second for people watching. This is a fully functional smartwatch that has accelerometer, that has...
Is it Android? Android? How it was, WatchOS or something?
Okay, you would be surprised. They made a custom OS. You cannot install apps, but this is a fully custom firmware that they have that you're syncing with your phone. And you can easily see that it's custom because how buggy it is.
It would be actually cool that, you know, because Starfield and Bethesda games, they always were famous for mods. If they let people actually modify software on this watch.
That actually would be quite cool. Honestly, I was expecting even more level of immersive from perspective, exactly how you suggested about the wallet, that it might do something in the game. It would be amazing that you would see what the in-game watch shows you on your actual watch. Because it's functional in the game. It shows you like your O2 levels and other stuff. Technically, it's Bluetooth paired with my phone, so nothing prevents it to connect to the internet and do shit like that. But I don't know, that would be super cool. And this watch came in the case. So last thing I will show live is the case. So the case looks like that. It's actually metal and quite heavy. And has a hatch that is quite cool. So you actually need to unlock it and hatch it specific way. And then obviously when the hatch it opens, and there will be the watch inside. Let me hatch it back. So that's part is really cool and made from actual metal. So it's reasonably heavy. And it feels like Apple product, not the watch case. Watch feels like Casio or something like that. That's pretty much everything from the pack, but I have not said anything yet about the game.
That's what I want. How many hours you played already?
Six hours.
Okay.
So decent to get to build up an initial impression, so to speak, but not decent enough for objective perspective. But first, what have you heard about Starfield?
Skyrim in the space. That's pretty much why I don't play it yet.
Wait, you don't like Skyrim?
No. I mean, not like completely, like I just like try to play it in the PC, on PlayStation, on VR, it just like didn't click for me. So I just give up. Last time was I tried to play it on Steam Deck because Steam Deck is perfect for this like old games where it just didn't work. Maybe one day, maybe Starfield would work for me.
Maybe, you know, so Bethesda were saying that this is a Bethesda game through and through. But this means that, you know, it doesn't look like Fallout, it doesn't sound like Fallout, but it plays like Fallout, pretty much like Fallout 4. And this is probably as close description as I would say is true. You have, on one hand, you have this angle of exploring. You can go to one out of the thousands planets, you can actually explore everything, but then coming back to the engine that they used, and the engine is very slow, zones are everywhere. So even if you are on the planet, they will...
Like loadings.
Loadings, of course. Tons of the loadings, yes. Zones, loadings. Even when you go to the big city, you played Fallout. I think you played New Vegas and maybe a 4 a little bit. Remember how, like, you entering the city, wait until, like, you opening the gate.
Every door is waiting.
Exactly that, and even worse, because in the Fallout, at least when you're entering the city, usually you will not see any loading screen until you're entering the building, for example. Within the city, you can move freely. Here, for the biggest city, they chunk it, and they have a trolley, and you need to enter trolley, which is just a loading screen. It's horrible to say the least, but again, if you're mentally prepared that you are getting Fallout, it's fine. Graphic is bad. Really,
because on screens I've seen it was, I mean, it wasn't like a mind blowing, but it was like pretty okayish, you know.
Sorry, I'm trying to...
Is it on Xbox or like on PC as well, the same?
No, it's the same. You know, everywhere is the same. So I will try to skip the ad when I can, and I will show to the people some of the potential videos of, you know, things like that. So... You know, and in the game where I thought this is exaggeration, pretty much this is the graphic. And for the game where for the game when you're mostly talking, facial expressions should be one of the key part, and it's not. Like, it's people who are telling you that the graphic is nice, they're usually emphasizing not part where there is a facial expression. They will give you a lay of the land, but when you're moving to the city, comparing to the things like even Cyberpunk had at the beginning of the very first release that everyone hated, there still was much better than this one. Just imagine, I'm entering the first city in the game. The first city, so the very first experience with this game, it should be the best. Yeah. And I see two exactly same generated characters with a different color of the hat, but the rest is the same. It's two copy-pasted characters that moving around. It's
kind of strange because usually they try to, like, this initial scene to make it like super polished so people don't refund on the scene.
Exactly. But it's clearly procedurally generated. So it was not intended like that, and yeah. I never seen it again. But nevertheless. And, you know, even though they did create the exploration mechanics, you can actually pick any planet, you can land at any point of time, but when you hear this, you're thinking about which game you think when you're hearing things like that. You can go to any planet.
No Man's Sky.
Of course, yes. In No Man's Sky, you can go to a spaceship and you can fly wherever you want. Here, you can fly from point to point with a fast loading because you don't want to go to a ship, then wait loading screen, then in ship wait loading screen for the map, then wait loading screen to the point of landing.
But is there like a space fights or space flights? Any of this, or you just like go from planet to planet?
Yes, so this is pretty much why they have the whole mechanic. There is actually a quite interesting and extensive mechanics of space fights, which I'm enjoying. It's not that it's super complex or super fancy, it's just enjoyable where you're doing space fights, but you know, you're traveling fast travel from point A to B, and there is a chance you will fight with someone because they intercept you or something happens there, or maybe there is a plot that you have to fight. So it's nothing fancy, but yes, it's there. But when you do land, and you're landing from the fast travel menu, it's actually procedurally generating part of the game, in particular radius in front of you. So you cannot walk far enough. I mean, it's decent size. Usually you would not want to walk that far. But if you actually will walk, it will tell you that you have to go back, then go to the ship and land in that point where it will regenerate the planet again for you, and then you can walk further.
Interesting.
Yes, it's... And all this is an engine, realistically. It's an engine, and when you look on these, you know, like modern games, they give you either 60 FPS or they give you ray tracing. These games give you neither. You don't have neither ray tracing nor you don't have 60 FPS. they don't even try to cover it up. If you're looking in the mirror in many cases, sorry, not the mirror, if you look in the wall that's so shiny that it can be used as a mirror, you clearly see the room, but you don't see yourself. They haven't even tried to make it work. It's no proper reflections at all.
I see.
Okay, this was a can be improved part. There are actually good parts about the things, because I do love this game. With all this thing that I just said, it's 10 years old engine. You can see it. The NPC AI brain dead.
You're still telling where it can be improved. Let's tell me, like, try to sell it to me. You already told me that flights, like spaceship flights, are fun. What else?
So this is now the good thing about Bethesda games. Tons of the amazing storylines. And the thing about Bethesda games, like in Fallout, the main story usually not the best one. Like in Fallout 4, you can find the story where you have a crazy scientist who figured out how to connect to an aliens, and then you will meet the aliens, and it's like going to completely crazy things. For me, Bethesda storyline is like Elden's Ring. From the perspective of in Elden Ring, you go to some a cave and you're finding the completely unreasonably sized universe where you're fighting a boss. And Bethesda, the same feeling for me, but for the storyline. You like randomly stop to listen for two guys in the pub. You're listening on something, then picking up this quest, and turns out you're a completely parallel universe fighting the deep government to underthrow someone so far away from this. And yeah, it's this is a Bethesda. You will see and hear tons of the stuff like that. Here, main storyline is not the best one. You can even ignore it. You need to proceed maybe 30% of the main story to unlock all the possibilities, all the events that you need, and then you can forget about it. Just go and do stuff around and explore the narrative, so to speak, of this.
Yeah, world. I guess it's a good part that on the space setting, because like in Fallout, you still narrow it by setting, right? Like it's a summary on Earth, it's like post. But here, since you have many planets, you can drop very random stories, like completely different things.
Actually, I never thought about this, but you're right. Yes, you can imagine. I'm only 6 hours into the game, but I can easily imagine a completely crazy shit going on the planet far away with completely different species and tech. And yeah, you're probably right. And you know, there are a lot of the content in the game. What I mean by that actual amount of weaponry, side things, just a lot of them. Clearly, they did a great job of custom tuning things. And yes, you still have opportunity to explore, which I also like. It's not exactly as No Man's Sky. It's slightly different, but it's still you exploring stuff. You're finding an amazing places with amazing storylines. Because one way you can find objects by picking the storylines, in other ways you can actually go on the planet and find shit, and you're in the middle of storyline that you didn't even know that how to start it, but you end up in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So this is a good part. I'm really enjoying it. I'm planning to have a lot of more hours to spend in this world. Maybe I will get bored of it, but and honestly, I would pay twice the price tag if the graphic would be at least a cyberpunk level. At least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On a game store, I can continue. I actually played Baldur's Gate.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Yeah. Yes, please continue.
I actually did an interesting experiment. So, Baldur's Gate, if you're familiar, is like one of these like old school RPGs, like very heavily on interface, 600 skills, lot of stories. The thing is, I never knew how to play these games. I tried Divinity, like again on the computer, on iPad, couldn't play it. This time I decided, okay, I will put some effort to actually play it, to learn how to play, because I want to have the same experience I have with the Souls games a year ago, when I decided, okay, I will try, and then I get into it, and I really like this genre. So I decided, okay, this seems to be a good game to try. Mm-hmm. And I was worried about controls. So because game is very heavily on interface, a lot of dialogue, so I decided, like, I have two options, play on a PS5 or on MacBook. Mm-hmm. So I tried to do MacBook with a Steam, and I actually got it. And you know, I have a mouse. I decided it would be fun to play, but I felt like I'm on the work, but no one pay me for it. It's like I'm sitting like in front of monitor with a mouse and keyboard, and like just like I played an hour. I'm okay, I like a game, and I think I may enjoy it more, but I just don't want to sit like in front of monitor and chair. So I refined it on Steam and went and bought on PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And they did a really good job with controls on PlayStation, because games like this, they're very hard to adapt for controller, like they heavy on mouse. And one thing that shows me that really they think about it, besides like all skills, it's hints. You know, this game full of texts, a lot of text has like a small highlighted words when you can hover and shows like a new pop-up and
yes, so yes, yes, yep, yep.
Yeah. I played the Crusader Kings 3, which is like political game. It's like shit ton of different terms. And they made like that you can go with a cursor and open them. It wasn't very user friendly, but it was like good attempt. Mm-hmm. But here they actually made an interesting way. Every time you have a text, you can click a button and it show you it shows another column of different terms, and you can just like it shows you column of cards, each cards for each turns on a previous column, mm-hmm. and you can just scroll down them. It seems like it wouldn't work, but usually you have like 3-4 turns in the text, so okay. it's not overloaded, and it's actually very easy to navigate. So I'm playing so far, I mean, I just get like a few hours, so not really deep down, but I really like mechanics playing, especially I got talking to animals and just talk to any random animals, and they all have something to say or something to give, which is quite cool.
You know, judging on these pictures, I hate Microsoft. It's PlayStation 5, but nothing for Xbox yet.
But I think they will release it for Xbox. I think they're just like in the progress. They should. They also didn't release for macOS actually, because when I installed on macOS, it still was early access. Early access. It was fine to try like initial like hour, but again, it's not like a full game.
You know, it's. The reason actually why it doesn't exist for Xbox just yet, and yes, they're about to release, is this completely asshole move from Microsoft, which has the name Xbox Series S. That's the whole idea.
Because they force everyone to make game work for that one. You can't really abandon it.
Exactly. And Baldur's Gate 3, they publicly stated that they cannot make a split screen work on Series S, period. They just cannot make it. And they actually thought that they might bypass Xbox altogether, after which Microsoft went and said, oh, no, we will give you an exceptional permission.
I think like from the beginning when they announced like two version of console, I was like, okay, it's just not going to work. Like the whole point of consoles was okay, just like one device, everyone make game for this particular device, and then every user have the same experience. Because to be honest, even PS5, like Baldur's Gate is not very well optimized. I didn't play split screen, but even on single player, I see there's like a FPS drops and some jittering. For me, it's not critical, especially for this game. It's not like action-based, so you don't really care much. But I can imagine like older consoles won't feel very good.
Man, I just came up in my head with a conspiracy theory. Maybe the whole idea of having Xbox Series S, so the game will properly work on Xbox Series X. Because if you have to optimize for... but yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if the Microsoft was Sony... or Nintendo with a Switch, they can pull it out, shit like that, saying developers, you have to optimize, and developers will do it. Like, if you're number 3, who give a shit? I mean, I do, but who give a shit about me? Either. It's But anyway, it's coming. That's what I wanted to say. It's coming. It will have a different features. There will be no split screen on the Xbox Series S. But there's still multiplayer, so yes, you can game, you can play. By the way, do you want at some point to play together, have a joint campaign and play it?
Oh yeah, I would be very happy to play. I mean, every game mm-hmm. became much better when you play with friends. That's just for any game. So I would be happy to play.
Let's wait until there is one for Xbox, and yes, then for sure I want to check it out.
If they also have crossplay, because that also could be a pain, but we'll see.
Okay, Baldur's Gate crossplay, and let's see. Baldur's Gate crossplay. There is no crossplay.
As of now,
sure.
The interesting is that they added cross progression. So if you have two devices, you can transfer your character, which is interesting.
And also, you see, they confirmed that there will be a crossplay. So okay, there will be a crossplay. That's okay. So we have to wait. Xbox and crossplay. These two things. When it happens, we will mm-hmm. play together. Maybe even more. Maybe, who knows, maybe we will do it four of us, because you can have a couch split screen. Yes, split screen online, up to four people, two split screens.
Yeah, would be cool.
Okay. What else? But, you know, you, except the talking to the animals, you haven't revealed too much about the game. Do you like it? Like,
I think I'm mostly play guided experience, you know, like, okay, just there's this quest, and then when I get side quest, I try to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also choose easier mode on fights because, again, I'm not very, very good at this, like, complex fights with multi-steps. I think it will show later when I finally got, like, how mechanic works, how I can explore and things. Because, again, I'm not used to games where I have to explore, or, like, the main fun is exploration, so I'll try to play this way and then I can make my judgment.
Got it.
Maybe like with Souls games, I like it so much, so I'll start like playing all these games like Divinity and everything else from the beginning. Who knows?
You know, Souls-like game, I recently, I have not heard about this game, Lies of P.
That's a new one.
I don't remember how I came to know even that, but it says that Lies of P is effectively, let me find the trailer, is effectively Souls-like. And the reason why I mentioned this, I think Souls-like games, they are exclusive for Xbox, but this one, oh, sorry, for PlayStation, but this one are released on everything.
No, so Souls-likes, not exclusive for PlayStation, just like, it just a genre became, right? The only game that was exclusive is Bloodborne, which is really famous, really cool. And Lies of P has some style similarities. I played the demo actually, and game plays differently from Bloodborne. It has its own like ideas and things. I'll probably play it in some time because I want to, but I need to finish Dark Souls. so I still playing them.
Got it. Okay, I will wait definitely for your review. It's something that just, you know, caught my attention. Not that something that I probably even want. My next game will be Baldur's Gate for sure. So Starfield and Baldur's Gate, more than enough to cover any free time that occasionally I have.
Yeah, Lies of P, it's also like that not coming from Software. It's pretty much like when you play all From Software games and you want more, then you go to these games. So that's what their auditory is.
Got it. Okay, so, you know, just because we on this front, I wanted to show something. Anyway, I will share just this video with listeners. This is really fun review of the Starfield. I would highly recommend for everyone just go in and watch this specific video. I will add it to the show notes for sure. With that, we can go to the last section of the podcast with different additional impressions and random topics that we want to speak. And my friend, I saw that you added Tesla story. Maybe I added it. If I was the one that added it, I completely forgot already what to share, but maybe it was you.
Oh, Tesla roof, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I got a contractors today. Not much to say. Like, process initially was pretty smooth. Besides that, it was like kind of stressful. Like, it was smooth in the beginning. They just like completely like no messages for like almost a month. And then I get notification, hey, you scheduled installation like next week, Monday. And the problem that initial design they proposed included battery on the facing side and my HA, which is, well, probably people know what is HOA, but well, like people who decide how my house should look like in front, they was against it, and I didn't want to fight them really hard. And I went to Tesla and say, first, like, I delayed installation for 1 week more just to have a response, and then I called them, hey, like, what are you solving? And they actually agreed just like to use another wall. Today I get contractors, like, interesting, like they all have different groups of people doing different work because everyone is licensed different. So first, two days ago, I get a guy who brought like everything on a truck. Today another guy went and he started working with the electricity panel, installing like fuse boxes. Then I get another group of people who actually start like putting things on the roof. So from what I see, they actually installed roof and they installed it batteries, they installed like all these fuse boxes. What's interesting, he also made a proper grounding for my gas heater.
Whoa.
So what's happening is because by code it should be there, and if someone look at my house, they actually say this is not like your house is not like built correctly. And because Tesla don't really want to any delays, they actually made this wires like really thick copper wire just going like from ground to like grounding pole to heater.
Mm-hmm.
They told me like they need one more day to just connect everything. Essentially, like everything's there, but they need to pull like AC wire. AC wire everywhere.
Got it. By the way, what about Tesla wall? Do you have?
So that's what I'm saying. Battery. So I have one. But what was your question?
Do you have two plus, or did you get the third one?
I think it's plus. I think he told me plus.
Got it. And the reason why I'm asking, they actually released 2 days ago battery V3.
I know. It's. But again, I don't want to wait in any delays, so.
Oh, yeah. And I actually look on the spec and turns out it doesn't have any. So it doesn't have bigger capacity. It doesn't have. It has a bigger. Power output if you have a really huge house. Like if you need more than, I think, 15 kilowatt per hour, the V2 cannot give you that much, but the power V3 can. And it has a solar panel inverter integrated, so you don't have this.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Thing. You don't need like a separate box. Yeah, I have this box, so they put an inverter as well.
Got it. I was about to say how you're liking it, but then figured that panels, yeah, you still need to do one more day of install, right?
Mm-hmm.
I completely you told me several times by now, in each time in my head is clicking, oh, you having a roof or you having a panel. That's why it's so fast, I guess, because they don't actually need to remove the roof.
The roof was fine. Apparently these asphalt shingles I have, they good for 50 years.
50 years, whoa.
Something like this. Like I could be wrong, but at least inspection I had when I was buying and other ones, I see like roof in a good condition and can really handle a lot. I guess like not much rains here, so.
Yeah, and I think you have a proper amount of sun, so that would be definitely nice things.
We'll see. Yeah, I have like a roof of weird shape, so it will always be like in the strange angles, but whatever.
And if I may ask, if you already know how much kilowatt your panels will produce?
I think 6.5. Obviously, it's like it's ideal conditions. Probably it will be less. I checked my real usage. I usually have like 4 kilowatt something. It peaks. Oh, it was 4 kilowatt hours per day. I think it's just like 4 kilowatt hours per day usage. If we exclude car charging as well.
Got it. 4 kilowatts per day? That's very low. Very, very low.
Yeah, no. Okay, I need to double check. I remember it was pretty low number. Like, besides fridges, I don't have. I mean, I have AC, but I don't use it like for a long time.
I see. Yeah, the AC is the one that killing me. My house usually using 14. If I were using AC, it can go up to 30 easily.
Mm. But maybe I need to double check. Yeah, but I see it's easily.
Yep. Anyway, I think we're at our mark. We can stop here. But do you have any other topics, my friend, you want to share with the world?
I don't know. Did you already discuss Apple event? I see like in the notes.
I only discussed that they put USB-C and that for me it was not fun. That's literally everything I said. So if you have anything to share, go for it. Because I didn't find it interesting this time.
Oh yeah, it's there was something. Actually, I can't even remember. Like they removed like they added new button, which is like not conceptual. I would just remove the previous one and then not doing it. Yeah. Okay. Fun thing about Apple and gaming. There's actually announced that a new remake of Resident Evil 4 will work on iPhone, which is I think is fun because it's pretty. Obviously, it's remake and it's not like a super, but it looks good and it will work on a small phone.
Oh my god. Resident Evil 4. By the way, Resident Evil 4 is, if I remember correctly, the exact Resident Evil that works on Oculus, right? Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, they released like last year on everywhere, I think.
I see. So they start adopting it and they just don't know how to stop.
Yeah, probably like... Let's make it work everywhere.
Yeah, but to be true, if you have a team that knows the source code, they recompile it, rebuild it, it probably makes sense to keep adopting this game while you have a team, you have an expertise, why not to continue?
Yeah, but I guess it's, it all depends like what low-level APIs you use, because sometimes it's just like not there and like you need to implement a lot of things. But now with Metal on Apple, I think it's easier to port those games everywhere.
Yeah, and it's exactly the same CPUs there, GPUs there, exactly the same APIs. I think, yeah, it's going to be much
cheaper. Which means it probably will also work on MacBooks eventually, if it not work already, because I think like Lara Croft games already on MacBooks working perfectly with M1 and 2 chips.
I think you're right. Even maybe, you know... Oh, by the way, they even confirmed and macOS. So my initial thought was even if they would not confirm it, you still can now run iPhone games there. But yeah, that makes total sense. I wanted to say something about Resident Evil, but I forgot. Okay, so are you saying that for you the funniest part of the Apple event was things that not even related, not even done by Apple? Was it?
Yeah, like... Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like phones now in a state where you actually really hard to make, you know, impression. It's like with a gas car engines, right? Like new cars are like autopilot, super features, but engines, like, okay, they just how many horsepowers, how big it is, and like how much fuel it consumes. The same with the phones, right? Like it's very, I don't expect Apple to do anything there, like for forever. I think it just like, it stops. Like, Samsung will do like some just like folding phones, some other cool form factors maybe to experiment. But until we have like different things like Vision, Apple Vision, and other things, I don't expect anything from phones.
Actually, now that you mentioned, tell me, by when do you expect a folding iPhone?
I actually never expected. I don't think it will be there.
Really? Why not?
It says there need to be completely different, you know, like some different way, because what Samsung have now, it's, I don't see like much usage for that. I mean, Apple like to go into territory where it's like, okay, huge demand, like everyone wants this for a factor. And folding phones, I think it's like very narrow group of people needs them. But again, I may be wrong, but it doesn't seem like everyone needs this thing. People want like a smaller thing, so a bigger screen, but altogether it may not work well.
Got it. You know, I actually was thinking that the use case, so I was thinking that use case is bigger and user base is bigger, and the reason why I was thinking that, because everyone wants a bigger screen but a smaller device, and this is a way to give, because right now they already reached the limit.
I think it's more about overall size, right? Like if you can keep the, because if you get any Samsung right now which is foldable, even in the folded state is still heavy and it's big. If you can make something that size of current iPhone but you can unfold it like with double screen when you need it, obviously that would like everyone go to, right? Because why not? Because we all agree on like current size of phones is fine. I would prefer lighter, not foldable, just lighter. But they don't want to make something what Samsung is doing. Okay, this huge thing that you really don't want to store in your pocket.
I think I agree with you, but at the same time, I want to recall, I want to focus our attention on this phrase. I don't remember who said this, but there was a saying before they introduced iPhone 5, I think, that Apple will never have a devices with different screen size and the size of the note. And I think this was when Steve Jobs was around. He called that phone ugly as hell. And now we have a device that is bigger than the initial version of the Samsung Note that we had back in the day in 2012. So, yes, but maybe, you know, Samsung will do the dirty job of educating people that now you have to live with this weight. And now this is how the phone looks like. And then the Apple will show how it's properly done.
Maybe. I think it's like if your pants not pull down because of phone weights, it's still fine.
Or you have to start selling the devices at attaching your pants to the right place of your body.
I'd rather think they will go just to like Apple Watch having more functionalities. It's already more standalone. and over time will be more and more. And if you have this one and some wearable glasses as a combination, that could solve a lot of things.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Besides like reading some large text or big pictures, Apple Watch can do a lot, like listening, calling, even sending mails. Now you can dictate it, even listening to messages. It's just like sometimes you need bigger screen, like for reading only, which may be replaced with wearable glasses. Again, we don't know.
I'm all into that. I actually upgraded my iPhone only recently, and I have not been upgrading it since iPhone XR. So I bought an iPhone XR. When is iPhone XR release date? So when was it released?
4 years ago.
2018, so like 5 years ago, and I effectively upgraded half a year ago or so. And for these 4 years, I was upgrading only Apple Watch because I can do tons of the stuff on the watch. I really wanted to use Watch more frequently, and I was doing so. And Apple Watch, I upgraded 2 or 3 times, and now I'm looking on Ultra, and I was waiting this Ultra 2. Maybe I'll upgrade to it, but we'll see. But I agree with you. I like that direction. I want to do more with the watch and less with the phone. Anyway, with these futuristic thoughts in the universe, I would suggest we end the show and we'll go for the dinner.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Okay, thank you everyone for listening. Same time, same place next week. Thank you everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye everyone.